Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The empty night hours, breathe in, breathe out, no crying demons, no pushing crowds, no clamoring ears straining to hear yet another authoritative word. Very early, while it was still dark, Jesus left the house and prayed. It's a rare pause in Mark's breakneck gospel. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned Mark's fondness for words like immediately and at once. If this gospel were television, its pace might fly by like an episode of 24. It was just two handfuls of verses ago that Jesus arose from baptism waters, and since then, Jesus has been tempted in the wilderness. John's been imprisoned. Disciples have been called. Impure spirits driven out. Worshippers stunned at everything that Jesus says, and so it almost feels like the airbags go off. We get to verse 35, and Jesus is alone in the night's wee hours, praying in the dark. I'm a morning person. In the pre-dawn hours are accustomed to my prayers, with the crush of the day, the demands of the call, unpredictable family life. 5:30 a.m. or so tends to work for me as a time to sit down with God. But I suspect that most days, if not for my alarm, I'd probably sleep right through until 7, that alarm and knowing that a cup of coffee is only 10 minutes away. These are pulleys that haul my body from bed. No alarm or coffee for Jesus, though. So what's got him out of bed? Or maybe the question is, how long had he been trying to sleep before he finally got up and went outside? Early morning prayer, unassisted by the bell, suggests a troubled spirit. Or so I've heard from parents of youth who are waiting for someone who's past curfew. Or people who, even though they are at home, still sleep restlessly as the one who is there in the hospital in that bed. Or someone whose body pains keep on waking them up. Or maybe just one whose worries rev the RPMs of the mind so fast the body can't sleep. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, Peter says in his letter, but even at the start of his ministry, the world's brokenness hangs on Jesus. Mark doesn't share the content of these nighttime prayers, but how could Jesus have not prayed over his life? That evening, a town's worth of sick and troubled were there gathered at Peter's door, and the previous day, impure spirits were shrieking out, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." All the noise, the voices, the need, the crowds that keep pressing, pushing, pulling, pleading, the looks in people's eyes. The knowledge that all of this would just keep going on and on and on. And so when Simon and the others finally found Jesus, and they said, Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else, to those nearby villages, so I can preach there too, and surely there would be more crowds, more teaching, more demons driven out, more sick ones down on their knees." Perhaps Jesus was awake because he was hungry for a meal of silence and space. Breathe in, breathe out. The quiet of night wrapped the soul in a blanket of stars. A psalm upon the lips, maybe Psalm 147. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. The Lord sustains the humble. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Jesus was the God in whom people hoped.
Jesus himself hoped in God. Jesus was the Son of God to whom fathers brought their sick sons. And he was the Son of Mary, whose Father in heaven kept his soul alive. Jesus, fully God, Jesus, fully human, one being with two natures, undivided, unconfused, is what the Council of Chalcedon would say 400 years later. But Mark pretty much says as much, just in narrative form. Jesus, the healer and teacher with God's authority, and Jesus, the man who suffered with and for the world.
Jesus, the weak human being.
Jesus, the mighty Son of God. Jesus Christ prayed. There's a sermon just in that. Jesus took time to pray. We need to take time to pray as well. Amen. But pinched as it is in the vice of Jesus' daily ministry, Mark's witness to Jesus' prayers must be for something more than just our exhortation. He prayed very early in the morning, says Mark. This phrase will occur again 14 chapters later when, very early in the morning, they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Jesus prayed alone in the dark, Mark says, just as he would at noon on the Friday when darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?
The freight that the early dark morning carries in Mark
suggests that Jesus' night escape from Simon's house is not for sweet hours of prayer. It may have been more like Jacob's all-night Genesis wrestling match, a contest of grapples and holds, of subjecting to defeat any way that didn't fit with God's claim on Jesus' life. Because Jesus wasn't just praying in the dark. He was going into it, into the shadows of souls where sins growl, into lonely places where people with broken bodies and lives end up, into the sores of lepers, into the face of death, into the darkness of the tomb.
It wasn't just his words, but his very presence
that shone God's brightness where light was scarce. So I think I can understand why Simon and the others were anxious when they got up and Jesus wasn't there. They hunted for Jesus, some of the translations say. It suggests a frenzied, desperate kind of search. Jesus' followers knew full well the heap of need that was going to land on Simon's doorstep. I can see how they wouldn't relish facing humanity's burdens without their master around. Maybe this makes Simon and Andrew and their companions a lot like us, who have for some weeks now been thinking about God's call on our lives. We've said that God calls us beloved, just as God called Jesus as he rose from baptism's water. We've said that God's voice can be heard speaking in our lives in people and circumstances that are around us. We've said that God gives us a course to run that demands of us everything, and today we hear that God's call to find Jesus in the dark. Maybe in our own nighttime spaces, but maybe out in the world where Jesus still lives out God's will to save and to bless and to be God's presence where the world is grappling and struggling. And there still are forces that are opposed to the reign of God. It's a blessing when we get to see a glimpse of what it looks like for the church to be God's light in places where it's shadowy. Last month, some of the men of the church were at Cleveland City Mission. And one person in our group shared dinner with a guy named Willie. Willie grew up in Cleveland. Willie went to East High and he earned a scholarship to play ball at Kent State. His freshman roommate now plays for the Cleveland Browns. But Willie's life took a much different turn. After 3 years of starting and enjoying the D1 athlete's life, his senior year got washed out by drugs and dismissal from the team. And Willie dropped out of school. He ended up losing one eye in a street fight, and life kept on spiraling down. "So how long you been here?" our group member asked. "I've been here 2 weeks," said Willie, "and I mean to stay for the whole program." And then the guy from our group put his hand right on Willie's chest, and he said, "Willie, I hope you can get your life back on track." And Willie said, "I hope the Lord can help me." And when I heard this story, it was the hand on the chest that really grabbed my attention, because it seemed like something Jesus would do. Jesus, who healed Peter's mother-in-law by taking her hand. Jesus, who stretched out his hand to the leper and said, "Be made clean." Jesus, who entered a house of mourning and took the hand of a little girl, saying, "Little girl, get up." Jesus, who on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Jesus, reaching ever deeper into the world's midnight until his body was broken and the light went out and the stone was rolled against the tomb and his body lay alone in the dark. Jesus calls his church to be his light in a world that sometimes can feel pretty dark, where the sun needs to rise, to be his hands, whose touch is a spark of life in people whose fire is waning, to be his prayers in a world ever searching for the light of life, to be his life laid down, not for anyone who deserves it, but for those whom God loves enough to put God's Son in a tomb.
And it was very early, said Mark, when Mary Magdalene and the other women went to that tomb.
It was very early, but it wasn't the early dark hours. It was early light when they got to the tomb and they looked in, and a shocking white robe pierced the dusky grave, and a young man said, "You're looking for Jesus? He's not here. He's risen. Go tell his disciples he is going ahead of you out into Galilee." Which is to say, Jesus is going back into the world, back into the wee hours of people's lives, as the one who went down to darkness and came back like the sun in full strength. He's going ahead of us. He's looking back over his shoulder and calling to us who would follow, "Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid to be where people hurt. Don't be unwilling to touch and to be touched by those who were going through one of life's dark nights." Because Jesus is out there in the dark. Jesus is turning lives around and turning the world toward dawn. He's calling the church to leave its house and to hunt for him, where he's dealing in earnest with all the trouble of the world. And it could well be that the next spark he ignites comes from the touch of your hand. Amen.